welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Eric Thomas.
All right, well, bouncing back to last week, you guys were able to hold on late for a homecoming victory. There was some good and there was some bad in there, but just walking out with a win on homecoming, what'd that mean to you?
Oh, it's a big deal. Always want to win your homecoming game. It's important for the kids. Helps with the enthusiasm of the week. Everything kind of builds up to that night, and to see that our kids stayed focused, and we came out really well, went up 14-0. So obviously we were focused through the week and took care of business, and it's always good to get that win.
Yeah, and then just you kind of highlighted it, the fast start from the offense there, yeah. Just methodically moving the ball down the field. How nice was that to see to start out?
That was good. I mean, fast start from the offense and the defense, really. I mean, we took, I don't know, there's 6 minutes left on the clock when we got done with the ball in the first off the first possession. So we took a lot of time off the clock and got a touchdown to end it into the drive. And then defensively, we got a good stop and went right back and did the same thing again. I mean, we just kind of repeated the same script for the second drive offensively, and it worked out really well. So it was good to see us get off to a good start because we've struggled at times with that.
Yeah, and then obviously the end didn't quite go as you guys wanted. You guys take that 21-point lead, and then you kind of have to cling to that in the final stages of the game. But just learning process for a young team, just finding a way to close out the game, how big was that?
It was huge to get a win in that situation and finding how to close it out. We were pretty good there at the end. It was a middle stretch there where we went up, like you said, I think we went up 21 points. Got to 35 on a big touchdown catch by Kendrick, and then it's like we all relax. Like we can't relax. We got to keep going. And it took us a while to kind of get back in the mode of doing what we needed to do. And when we did, we were able to finish the game out. But good to learn from that situation. There was a lot of situational football in that game, recovering onside kicks or not recovering onside kicks. And just different things like that we've got to be better at.
Yeah, now you move into this 3-week stretch of rivalry games, starting with Capital City this week. Just kind of what's the mentality headed into this stretch?
Yeah, you know, we can put a lot into it being a rivalry game and everything else. It's the first time we've gone over to Cap City. Jeff City High School has. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it's almost like homecoming, right? Like a lot of that is outside noise and distractions, where we've got to stay in the building focused on what we're doing and continue to improve, continue to get better, continue to find what we're good at, what we can build on, and continue to get better at those things. And then the opponent on Friday night is who it is. It's another big test this week, and excited to kind of see how our kids perform in another test situation and what we've gotten better at this week.
Yeah, and then moving to on the field, obviously Capital City's offense is going to be centered around Jalen Thomas. He's had a spectacular career so far. Just kind of what problems does he present?
They get the ball to him in a variety of ways, whether he's the dive back or the pitch back, or he's out on a toss or on a screen, like those types of things. They get it to him in a variety of ways, but they also distribute the ball pretty well. They've got different options, and running that triple option scheme that they do, it puts you in a bind. It gets you one-on-one in a lot of ways with your matchups. So we've got to be sound on defense. We've got to be base on defense. We got to keep those matchups and understand them and be fundamentally sound.
Yeah, and then on the defensive side of the ball, this is the best Capital City's produced on the defensive side in my time here and in their short time as a program. They give up a season-high 25 points last week. So just kind of what have you seen from them so far this season?
Well, obviously they're a pretty good defensive unit. When you hold Rockbridge to 25 points, that's saying something. They're a pretty good team and pretty good offense and quarterback and a pretty good system. So obviously we've got our work cut out for us offensively. They've got a lot of athletes on the field that are running around and like to be physical, and they tackle really well, so they're fundamentally sound. Number 73, their defensive lineman, offensive lineman, he might be their best player. Plays with a great motor, he's strong, he's physical, so we've got our work cut out for us.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Jay's head coach, Eric Thomas. Trevor, I guess I just got to start by saying 35-28 against Smith Cotton was a little bit closer than I thought I was going to see a final score from that game. So what exactly happened that led it to be that close?
Just want to say some really smart people predicted as a 7-point margin.
I don't know who you would even be referring
28-21, to. 28-21, that would be me. But, I mean, for a long time, that game was going exactly how Jeff City wanted it to. They jump out to a 14-0 lead in the first quarter. They start out the game with a 15-play drive. They follow with an 8- or 9-play drive. They were really moving the ball however they wanted to. It was a methodical approach. They were really pounding the running game. And then offense goes into a lull until late in the first half. They get a touchdown before the half, take a 21-7 lead. And then they extended that lead to 35-14 with around 8 minutes left, 8 minutes, somewhere in there. And I kind of tweeted that's the dagger. Right. It felt like the dagger, and then all of a sudden
I read that tweet and went, oh, okay, I can stop paying attention.
Yeah, I was wrong on that one, hand up. And, yeah, things went sideways for a while there. Jeff City ended up in a situation where it's 35-28 with Smith Cotton having the ball, right, with a chance to go tie or take the lead in the final minute.
Yeah.
That ended up falling short. But there was a few things that went wrong in that span that they're looking at. They didn't recover an onside kick. It was with about 4.5 minutes left, 7-point deficit. They didn't bring the hands team out. They didn't really think it was late enough in the game for Smith Cotton to onside. Obviously, they did. They were ready for it. It didn't completely catch them by surprise. They just didn't necessarily have the exact personnel they wanted out there. Immediately after they went up by 21 points, they give up a 1-play touchdown where they only have 10 defenders on the field.
Right.
Not ideal. And then the other big one is when they're trying to move the ball and kind of run out that clock, they're facing a third down. They had the right play call. They had a hitch route to Kendrick Johnson right in front of me on the sideline that was wide open, but a DN jumps up out of nowhere, picks it off, returns it all the way to the 21. That was with a 14-point lead, actually, and that's how they scored to make it 7. They do the onside kick right after that, and things got real scary, but Kendrick Johnson came away with an interception in the end zone. That helped stall that out, and then Jeff City gave him that final chance again. So a lot of things they want to correct in that sequence of events,
right,
and
yeah,
something they're looking at, but the big point that Coach Thomas and I talked about is it's a young team, and they were able to figure out a way to have all those mistakes and still close out a game. Obviously, 21-point lead helps with that, but the silver lining and all that is they still found a way to win.
The end result, I guess, is the fact that you keep Smith Cotton winless at 0-4 in the season, and now Jay's improved to 2-2 overall and get that first CMAC win, so they're now 1-2 in the CMAC. Things get decidedly harder this week. They will be traveling to Cap City. Cap City took its first loss of the season last week as well. They're 3-1, but they're 2-1 in the CMAC and had a pretty, you know, a 12-point game, 12-point loss at Rockbridge. I think, you know, it's not surprising maybe that they lost to Rockbridge, other than the fact that we thought this might be the year that Cap City comes up and gets them. But again, it's a team that you can't take lightly, and it's a team that obviously you should be ready for based on how they played so far this year and how you played last week. So I got to guess, for the Jays this week, it's just a matter of erase the slate from last week and just come prepared to do whatever you need to do tonight.
Yeah, and obviously it's a rivalry game.
Sure.
And they were able to get some revenge on Capital City last year, so I'm assuming Capital City is going to have the same mindset this year.
Right, right.
And it's the first matchup for them hosting Jeff City. Obviously, they played their home games at Atkins Stadium for the first 3 years, moved to playing home games at their home field last year, and Jeff City hosted them last year. So there's all that intrigue, and Jeff City's trying to block out all that noise. Coach Thomas really related it to a lot like homecoming with all the with all the distractions and stuff, and I'm sure kids are talking on social media because that's just what high school kids do. It's definitely going to be a difficult matchup. This is a very good Capital City team that's off to a really good start. And, doesn't really matter that they lost to Rockbridge. They gave them a really good game last week. And Jeff City knows more than anybody else that's a really good Rockbridge team.
Yeah, the end result for them last week was that 25-13 loss. By far the lowest amount they scored. I mean, they'd scored in the 40s the first three games of the season and were only able to get to 13 in that one. So, obviously, you can probably look at it from the Jay standpoint and go, let's look and see maybe what Rockbridge did to them that they were able to slow that down. Although I think, if I had to guess, they probably know what they need to do already before they even saw that game film. But let's start off with the fact that Cap City's offense has been, until last week, had been rolling. And I think it's a product of some expected and some unexpected. So let's start with the expected. Jalen Thomas is the expected. Everybody knows how good he is and how much of the game plan tonight will be the Jays scheming just to be able to try to keep him in check.
Yeah, no, 100%. Jalen Thomas is obviously coming off a second team All-State effort last year as a sophomore. I was honestly surprised. I forgot that he was second team. I thought he was going to be first team. He right. had a spectacular year last year with over 2,000 rushing yards and over 30 touchdowns. So really, right. really good player that's getting high-level Division I looks for a reason. And yeah, Jeff City is very aware of the challenges that he presents, and we'll get into the unexpected a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to worry about outside of him, but first and foremost, it's got to start with him.
Right. So the unexpected is the fact that the Cavaliers have shown a little more propensity to throw the ball this year, and I guess that's a fact of where you go, okay, you know, they were dangerous enough when it was just him and you could kind of key on him and he was still getting his. Now you're going to have to kind of be aware of both things, which might even make him a little more dangerous now. So how much of this tonight is going to be, okay, we've got to be really sound and just make great reads on what's happening, because, you know, if now that they can throw the ball, they're just multidimensional now.
Yeah, and I mean, they're averaging 111.5 passing yards per game this right. year, and that's not something we've seen from Capital City in years past, and it's just a whole different element to the offense, and for so long, you've seen the good teams just basically send all 11 guys to the line of scrimmage, right. essentially, and right. just dare them to try and go over the top. And it's not the fact that they're throwing the ball as much as they are. It's the efficiency that they're throwing sure. the ball with.
Yep.
Evan Schaefer's 32 of 42 passing this year for almost 450 yards with 4 touchdowns and 0 picks. So right. it's not like they're putting the ball at risk when they're throwing the ball. So it's another efficient way for them to move the ball, and we know how efficient they are in the running game. So, yeah, it's going to come down to keys, and going to have a guy on the dive, going to have a guy on the quarterback, going to have a guy on the pitch, and you can't cheat those safeties or corners out. Because they can beat you over the top. So it's a very difficult offense to stop.
Yeah, it's easy enough to say, okay, we need to become multidimensional, so we're going to throw the ball more. But if you don't complete the ball more while you're throwing it more, then it doesn't do any good. And the fact that they've been able to complete it this year and have that kind of success, I think is one of those things where you go, okay, it's not just they're not just throwing it to keep us honest. They're actually doing it because they feel like they might be able to get something positive to happen when they do throw the ball.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same transition Jeff City was going through at the beginning of the year. They came out wanting to throw the ball a lot more, realized that it was not a very efficient way for them to move the football, and then all of a sudden you look back to last week and they run the ball 61 times again. It's like, I thought I escaped this.
Right.
But, I mean, they're trying to find a way to efficiently move the ball the best way possible for them. And for Jeff City right now, it's the running game. They're still trying to work out that passing game with a brand new system. But Capital City in the second year with Evan Schaefer being the quarterback, and in, I believe, the third year of the system, they're really able to kind of complicate things for all these kids that have been in the system for so long, and it's really helping them out.
Yeah. So that's probably enough about the Cavaliers' offense, from the standpoint of we know the Jays are going to play well on defense tonight to be able to slow that down. I think what we have to look at too is this is a defense for Cap City that can't really be overlooked from the standpoint of, you go, yes, they gave up 25 last week, but that's not a whole lot to Rockbridge, and that's the most they've given up this year, because they've only given up 21 the game before that, and then 18 and 7 in the other games before that. So you go, okay, this is a defense that's been stingy this year. So I think the thing is for the Jays tonight is like, okay, we're going to have to probably play better than we did last week against a better team this week in order to get any production that will keep us competitive in this
week. And making that even more impressive, that 21 points allowed against Hickman, I'm pretty sure 14 of those came in garbage time in the
right.
fourth quarter. So,
yeah.
they have been impressive on that side of the ball. They're allowing just 17.8 points per game, giving up 259 yards per game, and less than 80 rushing yards per game.
Right.
So that the strength of that defense comes in the front seven and from the D-line and the linebackers, and Jeff City's going to want to run the football. I don't think that's a secret at this point of the season.
Right.
So their strengths line up with Jeff City's strengths, and it's going to be pretty interesting to see which one wins out.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm concerned, because 35 is plenty in most games, but only 35 against a Smith Cotton team that had been giving up a lot. Is there something that the Jays need to do better tonight that they didn't do last Friday?
Consistency. Like I mentioned, they started out really well, and they had a couple good stretches after that. But there was lulls in between, and turnovers is still a problem. Okay. There was two more interceptions last week, and they know 100% that they can't afford those turnovers tonight. Capital City's a little fumble-prone like they have been in years past. I know they didn't lose a fumble last week, but they put the ball on the ground five times.
Yeah.
So turnover battle's going to be absolutely massive in this one. And I think rain is getting more and more out of the forecast for tonight as the week has gone on. So hopefully rain stays out of the way, but rain is something that could equalize kind of a talent gap there. And football is not a round figure. It can bounce funny right. ways. So if the ball bounces your way, it could be your night. So the turnover battle is by far the biggest thing that they're worried about headed into this one. They know if they can get a couple on defense and avoid a couple on offense, that they could find themselves in a close game and anything could happen in that situation.
You mentioned it earlier on, but I think it bears repeating from the standpoint of this is the first time the rivalry game has been played at Cap City, and I do feel like that, yes, it's not like you're going to be going into hostile territory in the old standpoint of like places that have, you know, 50 classes of graduating seniors or even more. So it's a still relatively new enough school that it's not like you're going to be going in there and you're going to face legions of rabid alumni who are going to be crowding the sidelines in a big... But I do feel like this will be a well-attended game. There will be, I'm sure, an enthusiastic, you know, student section for Cap City. So I think it's just going to be one of those games where I think this is kind of what we were maybe hoping for when we kind of heard that there was going to be a second public high school in town. And you think about, okay, it's going to be neat when that kind of gets a couple years down the road and gets rolling. And just the results of the last couple of years have been to the point where you go, okay, it's already kind of a series already. But I feel like now this might be kind of yet another stepping stone in this series becoming more, I think, legitimized just from the standpoint of like, yeah, now you've got to go there every other year and still play well and kind of do it on their home field.
Yeah, these games are by far the most fun on the schedule. I kind of related to Blue Springs South where I graduated. Those Blue Springs games are movies in themselves. They're absolutely, like, the environments are tough to beat. And this is a situation where it's budding to get that way. And Capital City has a really passionate fan base for mm-hmm. a school that's only been around for as long as they have. So I've always been impressed with that. And the students, I've noticed it in the past couple of years that these schools really don't like each other. And I didn't expect it to happen so fast.
Right.
And like last year at the end of the game, after Jeff City had already clinched it, it got quite physical. I think there was an ejection or two, something. There was some flags for sure for stuff after the whistle. So it's pretty clear that this is going to be a physical matchup. And another thing to keep an eye on is which team keeps the cooler head.
Right.
You can't play sure. into that stuff. You can't get those yeah. unnecessary penalties that set a drive back. And I mean, that in a game with close margins, and we'll see if this one has that, that can be the difference. So rivalries are so fun, and you get three of them the next 3 weeks if you're Jeff City.
Yeah. All right. I guess I get just to the prediction point, and I'll just ask you, who do you see coming out on top tonight?
Well,
I'm not going to ask you what the score is because I already know you're going to pick 28-21.
Yeah, it's 28-21. I mean, I think Capital City's the clear favorite in this one. They have been more... have it all figured out so far this year. Their offense has been rolling. The defense is playing so much better than it has in the last couple of years and turned into a really good unit. So I'm going to lean Capital City, and I'll just keep going 28-21 and hope one of these falls
week.
On it.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.